Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Think with me for a moment about the most difficult decisions you've ever had to make in your life. Decisions that perhaps seem to have no perfectly right answer. Perhaps it was a relationship choice. Do I go forward or admit that things aren't quite right? An ethical quandary. Do I stand for what is just and right and good here in my profession, or do I fold and go along with the crowd because it is easier? A personal decision. Do I choose to admit my shortcomings and seek help for that which I cannot handle alone? Or perhaps a medical decision. Do I look into something that doesn't look or feel right? Or do I ride it out, hoping it will go away? And if I do seek treatment, how far am I willing to go? Tough choices, real life quandaries, difficult decisions. How do we know what to do? Where do we find the strength to decide? How do we find the wisdom to know while standing in the face of a difficult decision, that which can be changed and that which cannot? So wisdom, how do we get it? Well, the dictionary defines wisdom as knowledge, insight, good sense, judgment, and accumulated learning. By these time-honored definitions, would you consider yourself wise? If so, how did you get that way? Is wisdom a gift? Is it a capacity we are granted at birth? Or is it something developed within us at the feet of parents, teachers, or mentors? Danish philosopher Piet Hein offers this view on gaining wisdom. What is the road to wisdom? Well, it is plain and simple to express. Err and err and err again, but less and less and less. So trial and error, slowly but surely. Wisdom, Hein seems to say, is gained at the feet of experience. Think of the choices that each of us made in our youth, perhaps the mistakes we made and the lessons we learned from them. We still remember them, don't we? I have four children, and I know that as a parent, I have often tried to save my children from the costly task of gaining wisdom through their own mistakes. I wanted them to borrow from my experiences in order to spare them what I have endured. But this rarely seemed to work. Our scripture reading today is from the rich and historic Old Testament book of 1 Kings, written around 550 BC. Now, most of us are familiar with the name Solomon, whose name is synonymous with wisdom. The wisdom of Solomon, we say on occasions, to connote something extraordinarily thoughtful and insightful. God encountered Solomon in a dream, and he asked Solomon what he wants. Having just been hailed as king, Solomon recognized that he was young and inexperienced when he was given charge of all of Israel after his father, King David. He knew he didn't have the luxury of waiting for experience to teach him wisdom, because it would be too slow and costly a teacher. So he turned to God for guidance. He did not ask God for riches or power or victory over his enemies. Rather, we are told in verse 12 that Solomon asked God for a discerning mind. a discerning mind so that he would have the ability to rule wisely, have the wisdom needed to make difficult decisions, to know the difference between right and wrong. God is pleased and promises Solomon not only wisdom, but riches and long life as well. Now, while this particular story places Solomon in a good light, we can't ignore the things that we were told in the first couple chapters of 1 Kings. Solomon's ascension to the throne had not been a clear-cut situation. There had been some maneuvering and some power plays. Also, in the beginning verses of this chapter, we're told of Solomon's alliance through marriage with Pharaoh's daughter, and that daughter worshiped other gods. In the hymn that we just sang, "Be Thou My Vision," I wonder, do we look to God to be our vision in determining priorities? Solomon wanted wisdom, an understanding heart, so that he could discharge his duties to rule well. He didn't confuse knowledge with wisdom. Wisdom builds bridges. It attends to the needs of others and is not preoccupied with self. It seeks to serve rather than to be served. The New Testament writers all portray Jesus as the wisdom of God in the flesh. He is wisdom, getting involved, risking himself for us, sacrificing himself on the cross to build a bridge between God and us. His vocation was service, and so is ours. Several years ago, I watched a television special on Mother Teresa. It depicted the grim human conditions that were part of her daily life in Calcutta. It showed all the horrors of the slums of Calcutta and also her love for these people. The producer interviewed her as she was going from place to place, which was part of her daily routine. However, throughout the program, commercials interrupted the discussion, and the discussion and the commercials went something like this. Lepers, weight loss commercial, mass starvation, laundry detergent, agonizing poverty, luxury car, abandoned babies, dog food, the dying, diamond jewelry. Such absurd pairings can certainly highlight and help us to question our priorities, God's wisdom or earthly wisdom. And to help us regain perspective on what is really important, what matters to God, and what God calls us to do. Solomon's quest for wisdom was his recognition that he could never achieve it alone. Solomon knew that encompassed in the vastness of God was a breadth of vision, a depth of love, strength of purpose that experience could never equal. And we too can have a discerning heart of wisdom when we turn trustingly to God with humility and admit to God that we need help. Whether the difficult choices we face are with our relationships or our vocations, our nature and behavior, or a struggle deep within ourselves, God's vast resources can and do exceed our own. This is the wisdom Solomon surprises God by asking for. It is a deep desire for our lives to matter for other people more than ourselves. It gets involved. Like when two prostitutes came to Solomon and the one baby, both claiming to be the mother. Solomon didn't call in his wife or his minister of domestic affairs. He paid attention, listened, decided, ordered the baby sawn in half. The mother who bore the child couldn't bear it. Case closed. Because Solomon wanted this kind of wisdom, God gave it to him and more. Jesus told us in Matthew 6, strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. More than that, God's grace knows no limits. It goes way beyond our needs and wants, beyond our imaginings. One of the reasons we need each other is to hold each other accountable for what we want. We are here like Solomon, worshiping God. And God is asking, what do you want? My prayer is, dear Lord, help me to want what you want me to want. What is your prayer? Amen.